Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
You would please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, we read the first part of this chapter last week when we were in Romans chapter 14, because the first part of Romans 15 is part of the continuing statement of chapter 14, where we talked about the importance of accepting one another, realizing that it is the Lord who is the judge and that God is at work in each of us. We don't all work on the same timeline. I used to joke that I could make a fortune in Christian bookstores selling a color-coded chart that would show the progress you're supposed to make in your Christian life as if all of us mature in the exact same order chronologically. That, you know, you go through various colors, you work your way from, I don't know, green to gold or something. And you start out by realizing this, and then as you mature a little more, you realize this, and then as you mature some more, you realize this. And that's not the way it works. Within the body, we are elbows and noses. And we're not all the same. We don't all have the same gifting, and we don't all learn the same things in the same order chronologically. And that's why within the body, we sometimes see a person over here who we think, why haven't they realized this? Not thinking that they are sitting there looking at us and saying, why haven't they realized this? And God's put us together and we can encourage one another and we can instruct one another. And Paul's going to continue to talk about that today. But our focus today is something Paul says in this chapter. Join me in my struggle. And then he tells us how to do that. And so Paul, in this portion of Romans 15, beginning in verse 14, Paul is saying some things, reflecting on his own ministry, on what God has done through him, and on what he is anticipating happening, and he's asking that he be joined by the other members of the body. We'll start actually back in verse 13 of Romans 15. This is God's word. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. I have written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave to me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I have said and done, by the power of signs and miracles, through the power of the Spirit. So from Jerusalem all the way around to Illyricum, I have fully proclaimed the gospel of Christ. It has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Rather, as it is written, those who were not told about him will see, and those who have not heard will understand. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the saints there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this fruit, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints there, so that by God's will, I may come to you with joy and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word.
You are listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. This program is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. You can hear Pastor Wood's teachings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at pastorwood.org. And when you visit pastorwood.org, we would greatly appreciate it if you would tell us a little bit about yourself and, if possible, also make a donation to this ministry. So please visit pastorwood.org today. Or give us a call at 866-41-ABIDE.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Paul is wrapping up the letter. He's going to say some more things in the verses that will follow, but Paul is drawing the letter to a conclusion, and he really shifts from an argument that he's been making. He starts out declaring the gospel, and then he talks about application. And now he's getting more personal and making a personal appeal. And he says, I've written to remind you of some things that you already know. And I do this not because I think you're ignorant. I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and competent to instruct one another. Interesting. You're competent to instruct one another. Remember what we said at the start about the fact that we don't all learn everything at the same time? We can actually benefit within the body of Christ from one another. We can actually learn things from people who don't know some of the stuff we know. Just because someone doesn't know something you know doesn't mean they don't know something you don't know. And Paul says, I'm writing to you to remind you of things that you need to focus on, particularly with regard to the essence of the gospel, which is what the book of Romans is about. But he said, I do this with the understanding that you are full of goodness. Now, I thought this was the same fellow who says elsewhere, I know that in my flesh there's no good thing. Well, he did say that. Was that a contradiction? No, not at all. Because we're not supposed to be full of our flesh. We're supposed to be dead to that. And we're supposed to be alive in Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, would it be safe to say you're full of goodness? But you see, it's no longer me, but rather Christ who lives in me. That is why it's possible to say that we're filled with goodness. This goodness that Paul is talking about is the work of the Holy Spirit. And so when Paul describes his ministry, verse 17, look at it. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service to God. He says, when I talk about my service to God, my focus is on Christ. Look at verse 18. I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me in leading the Gentiles to obey God by what I've said and done. Paul is able to rejoice in what God has done through him because it's not about him. God can speak through a bush. God can speak through a donkey. God can use anybody or anything that he chooses. And so when Christ does something through us, it's not about us. It's about him. And therefore, we glory in Christ in our service to God. We speak of what he has done through us. And it is for his glory, not ours. So Paul is reflecting at the end of this epistle, he's reflecting on what Christ has done through him. And that's okay. That's not bragging. That's rejoicing in the Lord. That's giving credit where credit is due. And the fact of the matter, humility is not about continually obsessing over your inadequacies. That's not humility. That is just inverted narcissism. You're still focused on yourself. Humility is about thinking soberly. Remember what Paul said at the beginning of Romans 12? He says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but rather think soberly according as God has given to each one the measure of faith. If you don't realize that you have some spiritual gifts, then you haven't recognized what God put under the tree for you. Okay? When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't just die so that you could be forgiven. He died to make you part of the family. He died so that you could be a functioning member of the body of Christ, so that you can actually contribute to others. But it needs to be with the understanding that this is his work that he's doing through you. And so he gets the praise, he gets the honor and the glory. So Paul is reflecting on what Christ has done in and through him. And that's a good thing because it's giving glory to the Lord. But then secondly, I want you to see that Paul is not only reflecting on what Christ has done, but he specifically mentions something. And that is recalling the miracles that the Lord has done through him. Look at this, verse 19. By the power of signs and miracles through the power of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul was actually used to perform many miracles. Absolutely miraculous things happened as the Holy Spirit of God worked through him. Miraculous things. Miracles that no one could deny. And this had happened prior to this writing, and this would continue to happen after this writing. Even when Paul has been shipwrecked following this occurrence, when Paul has been shipwrecked and he gets bitten by a snake, and the people who see it on the island there assume he's going to die because it was a poisonous viper. And instead, Paul's fine. And when they realize that, then they jump to the conclusion, well, he must be a god. Okay? Wrong both times. But Paul, who had worked miracles, now, is that the kind of spiritual life you'd like? How many of you would like to have God working miracles through you? Wouldn't that be nice? Worked out great for Paul. I mean, he never encountered opposition anywhere he went. He never got, you know, people didn't stone him, spit on him, beat him. Oh, yeah, they did, didn't they? Okay. Paul worked miracles The power of God doing supernatural things that were astounding to people who saw it, but he not only recalled the miracles, he recalled something else that I want you to see. I put these together on purpose because God did here in his word. Not only recalled the miracles, he recalled the unfulfilled longings. How could a man be filled with the Spirit, used by God to work miracles, and have something he's longing to do and he doesn't get to? How does that work? Verse 23. But now there's no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so. Paul says, for many years, I've been longing to see you. Well, then why didn't you just go? Because he had other work to do. He had other things to do that kept him from being able to fulfill a longing that he had for years. I don't understand that. That doesn't seem very spiritual to me. I mean, if God was calling him to do something else, then he shouldn't have had that longing. No, that's not the way it works. It is totally legitimate, biblical, spiritual living to be doing something God has called you to do while longing to do something else. Paul, for years, longed to go to Rome. Why didn't he just get on a boat? Well, because his ambition had always been to preach the gospel to people who hadn't heard. And the folks in Rome had heard. Not everybody in Rome had heard, but there were believers in Rome that Paul was longing to go see. But there were a bunch of people here where they'd never heard the gospel. And so Paul is focused on doing what he is ambitious to do, that is bring the gospel to people who've not heard, and that prevents him from doing what he's been longing to do, which is go and fellowship with people who already know the Lord. Can you see where sometimes our longings and our calling will pull us in two different directions? And we don't have to repent of either. We just have to choose wisely. And Paul chose his calling over his longing without pretending that he didn't have that longing and without repenting of the fact that he had that longing. He just deferred it. Someday, hopefully, I get to do that. Would Paul make it to Rome? Yes, but not right now. And year after year after year, Paul longed to go to Rome, but he focused on what God had given him to do. His calling, which was to reach people who'd never heard. What does he say? Verse 20, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Is that a good thing? Let me ask you, what's your ambition? If your orientation isn't about how we're going to use this in order to spread the gospel, then you're missing the main part. Imagine a car with no engine or no steering wheel. I mean, you know, something's missing if your great ambition in life is just about you and your retirement fund. I mean, what are you going to do? Make a lot of money and then retire and then what? I mean, if your ambition doesn't go beyond 70 or 80 years or 90 or 100, you got lousy ambitions. You need to be thinking about the eternal impact of your life. That's why the Apostle Paul made it his ambition to bring the gospel to people who hadn't heard. That was his ambition. That was his aim. That was his focus. That's where he put his energies. That's where he invested his life, even though at the same time he was longing to go hang out with the believers in Rome. Is it okay to desire both? Absolutely. Perfectly fine. Well, what's your ambition? Paul says, my ambition has always been to preach the gospel where Christ was not known. Verse 22, this is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. Verse 23, I've been longing for many years to see you. Verse 24, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. So, while he's got this ambition of bringing the gospel to those who've not heard, he's got a longing to see these people, and he's now making a plan to go see those people. It's okay to make a plan. You understand? Well, I don't think we're supposed to. I think we just need to live every day, one day at a time. You can live every day, one day at a time, and still have a plan. That's okay. That's not contradictory. Well, but you have to hold it with an open hand. Yes, you do. But you got to have something to hold with an open hand. Okay? It's perfectly fine to have a plan, realizing your plan might get overruled by God, who knows everything, whereas you only know some stuff. Paul says, I know that if I'm going to try and go to Spain to preach the gospel there, I could stop at Rome on the way. He knew geography. Isn't that something? He says, it's on the way, so I'm going to try and stop, spend some time with you. You'll refresh me. I'll refresh you. It'll be a good time, and then you can help sponsor the rest of my trip when I take the gospel to Spain. He was going to Spain to preach the gospel, but he says, I'm thinking on the way to Spain, I can spend some time with you, which is something I've been longing to do for many years, and I've often been hindered because there were these other opportunities to preach the gospel to people who'd never heard. Got it? That's the way we're supposed to live. It's okay to make plans, and it's okay to hope to do something. And sometimes it works out, and sometimes it doesn't. But then Paul requests the partnership of these people. Verse 30, I urge you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me. The Apostle Paul, who knew what it is to walk by faith and who teaches us what it is to walk by faith, says, join me in my struggle. I want you to join me. I urge you by the Spirit to join me in my struggle. Well, how do I do that? What does that look like? He says, pray for me. Pray for me. When we pray, we make a difference. We really do. It really does have an impact. Prayer is powerful, and we have the awesome privilege of joining with one another and with God himself in what God is doing in the earth. And that's really awesome. Because God is up to stuff. God is doing wonderful things. And you and I can be a part of it through prayer. Folks, let me just tell you something. We're not the ones who move God so much as he's the one who moves us. God moves his people to pray. Don't miss out on what God's doing. You have an opportunity to be part of this. God can do the whole thing without us. He spoke the universe into being. He doesn't need our help, but he's wanting us to join in. One of our grandchildren, every time he comes to the house, wants to help. It's adorable, okay? Sometimes things get broken as he's trying to help, but he really wants to help, okay? And I think that's precious. We're not counting on, oh, well, let's wait until he gets here and then maybe we can get it done. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. But it's a delight for us to have this child eager to be a part of what we're doing. Got it? That's the way we're supposed to live as children of God. Just eager to be a part of what God's doing.
Abiding in Christ is paid for by the generous donations of listeners like you. We are grateful for gifts of any amount. You can make a donation online at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.